We approach this week that the world has reserved to give thanks with gratitude towards your holy name, and we bless your name today. Thank you, Father, for giving to us the grace to consult with you in different forums prior to this. Yeah. Father, as we look into your word, it's with gratitude, Lord. Father, we pray that you bless us and allow that only your voice will be heard in the name of Jesus Amen. Christ. Father, please exalt your word in our heart. I pray that it will please you to make plain that which is your mind to our generation for this time and for this season in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, again, Lord, it's our heart's desire that our thanksgiving, every expression of it may be acceptable to you, Lord. Reveal the Lord Jesus to us. He is our bread of life. Help us to see him. I pray that his word we enter into our hearts this morning, Lord. Please bless us, Father. Father, please heal us by the giving forth of your word this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our families. Father, I just, this moment, remember those amidst us, Lord, who, and generally, who are entering this season with their hearts not as joyful as it otherwise could have been. Father, those that have been affected by the current global pandemic. Father, those amidst us who are sick, those families who are caring for sick ones. Father, those who have one care, one worry, who are going through seasons of trial, who pray in the name of the Lord, Father, that the hope, the grace of our Lord Jesus will rest upon every troubled heart this morning, Lord. You, my Lord, who said, glory be to God in the highest and on earth, peace and goodwill unto men. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that your goodwill and your peace will rest upon every heart this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you and we bless Amen. You, Lord. Blessed be your holy name, for in Amen. Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. We thank the Lord this morning for his grace. And as we are coming out of a season of thanksgiving, we thank him for that. We are always giving thanks. I've cracked this joke a few times this week that it's very telling that the one day that the world reserves for the giving of thanks unto God, if we look at it closely, it still ends up being about us, right? About our turkey, our family get together, and I was thinking to myself a few times this week, can there just be a day when it's not about us and it's really about God? It's really about the Father who causes the ground to give up its seed, who blesses our homes and causes there to be love and family. All right. So this week, my refrain has been, may the Lord accept our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Because ultimately, thanksgiving is not, it's not just a holiday for us Christians. Thanksgiving, the full sentence is, a day in which we give thanks unto the Lord, in which the pilgrims give thanks for their harvest. And they took it right out of the Old Testament when the Bible says they rejoiced as in the time when their harvest was full. They give thanks unto the Lord. They remember the Lord their God. We thank the Lord for preserving the family of New Covenant Church up until now. Our hearts are grateful. I think all of us are immensely aware that if it had not been for the Lord who had been on our side, we wouldn't be in a position this morning to be giving thanks. And we bless the Lord for that. We have been talking about, in one form or the other, for actually the several few months, on the just refocusing on our Christian walk. And I'd just like to continue in that vein this morning. I'd like us to open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2, then we go to Romans chapter 12, then we go to Genesis chapter 4 quickly this morning. But we start We will start by the grace of God from Hebrews chapter 2. And I would like you, last week we talked about, we challenged ourselves not to be Christians merely. We said that Christians was what the world called us. Actually, when we look at the tone of the Bible, what we call ourselves are disciples. In the Bible, the way they referred to themselves was as disciples. And we discovered that the word Christian in the New Testament is used just 3 times. And 2 out of those 3 times was used by unbelievers, or rather in reference to unbelievers. But multiple times, when the disciples look at one another, what they saw were followers of Jesus. And we examined what it meant to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. And I particularly thought that was very instructive when it came to my mind, because the general term and the way we tend to look at ourselves today is that we're Christians. And many of us practice Christianity, but we do not follow Jesus. Christianity is what we do when we go to church, or the devotion we do when we wake up. But the life of a disciple is different. We learned last week that once a disciple, your agenda needs to change a bit. You begin to assimilate the agenda of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are no longer your own. You think about how your actions affect the master. You are now a disciple. You are a follower. And you follow for a reason. So last week he talked on that. This week, I'd like to start by reading first this one verse from Hebrews 2. It says, therefore, we need to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. If not, those things will drift away. This is the word of the Lord to us this morning, that we need to give very careful attention. And this is particularly instructive again in our time, because I discern in my spirit that part of what we struggle with in our generation is the ability to let the voice of the Spirit that we hear in gatherings carry over to our weekly activities. And this passage is saying, so we need to be more careful, give heed to the things we have heard. And the danger of not actively giving heed is that those things will drift from our hearts. I remember Joshua 1:8, meditate upon it day and night, and that is when you will make your way prosperous. And I think as Christians, what we want most is not just to hear the word. What we want most is to be profitable in the word. And in order to be profitable, according to Joshua 1:8, then we must give a little bit more attention to what we're hearing. It's a useful Christian practice, especially when the Lord already warned us that there's a proverbial board that is ready. It's not seen. We don't see that bird with human eyes. And I think everybody here, we attest to the fact that there is indeed a bird that we don't see that takes the world. Because I challenge myself, how come it's easier to remember some things than it is to remember what you read in the Bible in the morning? There has to be a bird. There has to be a bird. Since we're incredibly bored and we're incredibly at home, I found myself watching Mount Zion movies on TV. I don't know why. After a while, they all are like, you know, it's always about, it's amazing. Those people know more incantation than scriptures at times, but that's by the side. The thing I want to emphasize about them is they like to dramatize. When witches are going to meet, the witch will turn into a bird and the bird will fly. I don't know why they always put their legs on the wall. I think that's where how you fly to the meeting of witches. I don't know, but that's kind of the other way. So they'll put their something, their leg on the wall, and then they will talk to it. It's always a blackboard. That's another thing. He must, I wonder why the angels are always white and the demons are always black. And these are black people. But that's besides the point. The point is, there is a board. The Bible says that the sower sows the seed, and then some will fall by the wayside. So this scripture is saying we should pay more attention, the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, Moses gave a very similar instruction to the children of Israel when he told them to take heed to themselves and to the things that they had seen so that it will not depart from them. We need a seminar on taking heed. It is really not in the volume of sermons anymore, because many of us have been hearing basic Bible stories since we were young. We need to pray about the ability to take heed, to pay a little bit more attention to the simple words. We need to pay attention to the way the Hebrews writer put it, is exercising our senses to discern between what is good and what is bad. Because ultimately, the Bible is only as good as we practice it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I want us to just start on that note. But where we're really going this morning is in Matthew 4:4 also says, the Lord himself told us that man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Take heed. Take it. If there's anything we need in our generation, more than anything in our generation as disciples today, is the serum of taking heed. We must take heed that what we profess squares with the way we be, or the way we behave squares with our profession. And enough heed, I have to say, is not taken to ensure that. It's better to have a dose of obedience than a boatload or a brain full of scriptures that mean nothing. That was what the Pharisees had. We talk a lot about evangelism, but I dare say that these are times where we need to look inward a little bit. Our evangelism will not be that difficult if we do a little bit more of taking heed. If we practice, if we meditate, if we allow ourselves to be guarded and instructed by what the Holy Ghost is evidently teaching us, because what I've seen is the Holy Spirit is always speaking to his children. We are just not taking heed. Then naturally we will evangelize. Christ said, follow me. When you follow me, I will now make you fishers of men. But it always starts from follow me. When Christ says love, we ought to take heed. And Romans chapter 12, let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. I call Romans chapter 12 the Exodus 20 of the New Testament, because it just seems to summarize to a great degree what the Lord requires of us. We'll read verse 1 of that as well. He said, I beg you, beseech, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Then it said something else. It said, it is your reasonable service. Now, just theologically, I'd like to just deal with a few things quickly. If it says, I beg you, I think it means that's something that we ought to do and we can do. He did not say, I charge you, New Covenant Church, this morning that by faith go away and go and pray about going away to pray about presenting your bodies. It's assuming that we had read from Matthew chapter 1 to Romans 11, and as a consequence, in verse 1 of chapter 12, he's giving us a task that haven't been in Christ, by the help of the Holy Ghost, who is ever willing to help, we actually can do. So he's begging them. Paul here is saying, I'm begging you, my dear brothers. So he's speaking to Christians. He's speaking to Galaxy A20. He's speaking to iPhone. He's speaking to Mayo and Vanessa. He's speaking to Jesus Loves Me. He's speaking to Femi Indero. He's speaking to Olu Olorun Tomidare. Olorun Tomidare twice. Tommy, the Lord is speaking to you twice. He's speaking to Peter Bejide. He's speaking to Shade's iPhone. He's speaking to Tenny, to the Shade Horns. He's speaking to Titi Lion's iPad, to Tola O, Tola iPhone. He's speaking to Tunde Ademiju, and he's speaking to the praying hand. And he's speaking to us by the mercies of God, brethren. He's not just throwing a sermon. He's not in specific in who he was addressing. He's speaking to brethren. And what Paul had to say to these Roman brethren, to these Maryland brethren, is this body that you have, please present it, let it be a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to God. And he said, this is your reasonable service. I don't want to go into the theological foundation I want to lay this morning, is that he's speaking to us, and he's speaking to us that by the grace given to us by God, by the mercies presented to us by God, because you can do it. 2 Peter chapter 1 told us about the exceedingly great and precious promises by which we are made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world. And then he went on to say, then giving all diligence, do. I think we should encourage more ourselves more in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not, the Bible says we are more than conquerors. I think we should remove the satanic brainwash that says that the true work of a disciple is not natural to those who are born again. Because if indeed Christ rose in a newness of, rose again, resurrected, so that we can walk in the newness of the Spirit, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And the apostle here strikingly is telling us, to render our bodies leading. Are you on the call tonight? You disappoint Jesus if, verse 2, you are conformed to the world. He did not get us born again to just confess him. He got us born again to represent him in our bodies, to be the living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable. And this morning, this is where I want to round up. He said, this is our reasonable service. And that presupposes there's such a thing as unreasonable service. Examine yourself carefully and make sure you haven't been offering unreasonable service. That means if it says, for this is your reasonable service, I think NIV calls it the true and proper service. So that means there are services that are not true, and there are services that are not proper. And the apostle wanted to make a distinction between the two. He said that sacrifice, that is a living sacrifice, that discipleship that is in love with Jesus, he said it is a reasonable service. Brethren, let me ask you this morning, do you want to just offer God a service, or do you want to offer the one that is acceptable in his sight? In fact, verse 2 talks about it. Do not be conformed to the world. Another verse in the Bible that I remember, I think it's in Ephesians, says that you should cleanse yourself, O double-minded, and is it wash yourself, O sinners? Every time we refuse to act in the interest of Jesus, or when we exalt our own interest above the interest of our Savior, Jesus Christ, it is an unreasonable service. May the Lord find our sacrifice to be reasonable, to be true, and to be proper at his return in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Beware, brothers and sisters. It is not all services, all sacrifices that are acceptable. There's a way you run your Christian walk, your fellowship with Jesus, and it is not acceptable. We don't talk enough about it. We only talk about offering a sacrifice. We don't talk enough about the quality of your sacrifice. Are you going to be one of the few elect that the Lord will examine their sacrifice and find it to be acceptable? Let us challenge ourselves, not just to bring sacrifices, but to bring sacrifices that do Jesus proud. To buttress this, let's go briefly to the old. And I would have, if we had time this morning, I'd have wanted to give you my context for the Old Testament. The Old Testament is so useful in instructing us in many things. But brethren, be very careful. One of the most important things for me in the Old Testament is to learn from the characters of those who walked with God. And the Old Testament went into extreme detail to give us sketches of personalities and characters to learn from them. And if you notice that the most useful thing, the most use that the writers of the New Testament had for the character for the Old Testament was that they illustrated and used as example the stories of the characters there. So the Lord will say, women, model your life after Sarah, your mother's. The Lord, we talk, the Bible, the New Testament, we talk about us, all men, lifting up their hands like David. Walking with faith, Hebrews 11, like those Hebrew brothers, the Hebrew men. So, one of the greatest use of the Old Testament, when you are studying the Old, because at times you can get lost in the doctrines, and I tell you directly, the application of the Old to you is outlined in the New. But one thing you can't find that you in detail in the New, that you find in detail in the Old, is the hows. How did people assimilate doctrine? And the greatest use of the Old for you, because God has not asked you to do the sacrifices that the Old Testament illustrated. Christ already did that. He's not taking you through the wilderness to a brand new country. No, we have a new Jerusalem. We know that. He's not giving us specificities about the way to conduct circumcision. We no longer need all of that. You are not being captured by slave traders and taken to Egypt. Well, there are similarities. You may find yourself in a bind in life. But the sketch of Joseph is very useful for a man going through trial. In Moses, you are not between, you don't have to divide an actual Red Sea, and you don't have a whole band of Pharaoh, you know, chasing after you. But what applies is the character of the people of God. And the Bible went from book to book to book to illustrate in detail the way they interacted with the Lord. And like the New Testament told us, he said, all those things that were written, they are written for our learning. So please be very diligent to study the characters of the Old. Very diligent, especially to watch how they dealt with their God. In the Old, you find what makes the Lord angry, what does not make him angry. How do you worship the Lord? Because there are elaborate sketches, whole lifetime worth of sketches about how people like you and I, under the context and circumstance that God apportioned to them, how they related with their God. How to make yourself a living sacrifice. We'll look at one this morning in Genesis chapter 4. The story of Cain and Abel. And then we'll close. There's no Genesis. Moradika has torn Genesis 4 from my Bible. May I have yours? Thank you. I'm going to save us time. We all know the story. It's the story of how they made sacrifices to the Lord. I'll start from verse 3. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. I want you to note these two sketches. It came to pass, Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. Did the Bible say here that the offering was polluted and rotting? No. The Bible said that there was anything wrong, particularly. I mean, the Bible knows how to tell us when, in Malachi, when he was talking about bad offering, he told us that the goats, blind goats, some people brought three-legged sheep. So the Lord is quite capable of telling us what is wrong. But in the story of Cain and Abel, it was not like that. These people were not asked to make any sacrifice. These were volitional sacrifices. This was before the law. And they had it in their mind to offer unto their Lord. Maybe their dad taught them. I don't know. But Cain was a farmer. You know, some people say that it was because he bought from the fruit of the land and that the blood, that the reason that Abel, so the Bible does not say that. If you fast forward during the law, you find out that there were a lot of people who brought of the fruits. In fact, the Lord said the first fruit of the land is acceptable to him. So there's not, it is where you walk and what you do that you can bring to the Lord. You can't be a farmer and go and bring sheep, right? If the Lord wanted sheep, he allows you to go and sell your something to bring sheep. But there's no command, no specificity here. Just free will offering. This other man, though, see, Abel, he went and deliberately brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. So Cain was angry and Cain and his countenance fell. This was a person that in his heart wanted the approval of the Lord. We paint poor Cain like he was some murderous. No, no. He was a man who brought, like many of us bring free will offering, but what kind of offering? Have you taken the time to make sure that the offering you are bringing is of the excellent kind? A living sacrifice, a reasonable form of service, that your motive is pure, that it's worthy of a king. That was what Abel had. When they described it, it was of the fat. See the adjectives, the first fruits and the fat. But this other man just went, it's time for service, it's time for the law, it's time for prayer, just grab one yam, grab this, grab, Shebi is to sacrifice and sacrifice. The other person, oh, this is my Lord we're talking about. I have to be reverential. I have to pick the best. I have to, what kind of sacrifice? What kind of disciple are you? Are you the careless disciple, thoughtless, unreasonable service? Reasonable means it engages your mind. It is, look at that word reasonable. Reasonable means when you think about it, it is the logical kind of service, is if indeed you are serving a mighty God. It matches the context. How do you serve the Lord? It matters. And then when he was angry, the Lord said to him, verse 6, why are you angry? Why is your countenance falling? They said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do well, sin lies at your door, and its desire is for you, and it will rule over you. It is when our bodies are living sacrifices that we are safe in the secret place of the Most High, and we are protected from sin. There are no shortcuts, brethren. Halfway Christianity is no Christianity. The Bible says, I forget the quotation, says, let those who are named by the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. What's the beginning of that quotation? As many as are named by the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Brethren, this is a time where we need to start differentiating ourselves from the multitude. Render your bodies a living sacrifice. Stand up for Jesus. May the Lord bless his word and may the Lord go with us this week. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let us pray. Father, we ask you, we have heard. We want to be not just a sacrifice, just like last week, we did not want to be just a Christian, but a disciple. This morning, we do not want to render just a sacrifice, but one that is reasonable. I pray that your word will be in our heart.
Amen.
Make it alive.
Amen.
I pray that when you examine our sacrifice compared to other Christians, that it will be like the sacrifice of Abel.
Amen.
Give us the grace to pause and engage our reason this week.
Amen.
To ask ourselves, to whom am I really praying? To ask ourselves, who am I acting for? Whose name do I bear? And to rejoice, Lord, in the enlightenment that we are yours. We ask all of this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.